the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
The negligence of the church, everything, everything. We've lost the supernatural. Now, wait a minute. We've lost the Christian supernatural. The demonic supernatural is ever increasing before us. It's everywhere you look. The demonic supernatural. We're not able to recognize it as such. We don't understand that's what it is. But the demonic supernatural is unbelievably powerful. Now, no, hey, listen. It's not as powerful as Christianity. It's not as powerful as the Holy Spirit. We love to quote it. We Christians love to quote, well, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, if that's true, then why, where is it? What's happened to the power? Why are our Christian churches so powerless? Now, doubling back a little bit of some of the stuff we talked about yesterday. Why are we powerless against evil around us? Maybe we're getting victory over personal evils. Maybe we're getting victory over personal demons. But are we supposed to be advancing a kingdom? And is that kingdom advancing? Thy kingdom come. We pray it all the time when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it. Are we to believe that the stuff we see going on around us right now, that's the will of God. That's his kingdom. That's his kingdom come. His will be. That's it. Come on, man. Something wrong. Something wrong. And I'm not here trying to act like I have all the answers. I think I'm here. I'm asking a lot of the questions. What's going on? What in the heck is going on? We had a rally at the State House on Saturday, and you know, we had maybe 1,000 people show up. I don't know how many showed up, but again, we were part of a rally. We didn't run the rally. I didn't run the rally. And I'm just glad all the people were there. There's going to be another rally there at 2:00. I'm going to show up at that rally again today because I believe that the church has to be the church, and the church has to be where the salt is needed. And folks, the salt is needed at the State House. It's needed there. Now, I can't help it if I get down there and there are people down there as we join together, one body, many members, different people doing different things. I can't help that. I'm going to go again. We'll continue to be the squeaky wheel because the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So we had a good event down there, and we're going to go again. Craig is going to come tomorrow. Craig Michael is going to come on tomorrow, and he's going to talk about some of these. See, I'm convinced. I said in the pre-show, friends, I'm convinced there's something. What's the word I'm looking for? There's something supernatural happening in regards to our environment, whether it be a comet, whether it be a pole shift, whether it be, I don't know, we're getting earthquakes. We get a lot of crazy things going on. And I think that part of what we see happening with the whole coronavirus thing is the powers that be know something is on the horizon, something big. Natural, maybe that's the right word to use. Some natural phenomenons coming. And I think that's all part of this lockdown, training, conditioning, whatever it is that's going on. That's what I think. I don't have any proof of it. Craig's going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. On Thursday, Sheriff Richard Mack's going to join us. Constitutional Sheriff's, or what's his organization? I can't remember, but Sheriff's going to get up early. He's out in Arizona. He's going to get up early on Thursday and join us, and he's going to convince you and convince me and convince all of us that the problem, all of the problems that we're dealing with, Donald Trump is not going to solve them for us. Not going to solve. Michael DeWine's not going to solve them for us. Sheriff Richard Mack is going to tell us that every problem we're facing constitutionally in America can be solved by the local sheriff. It's going to be a powerful show, So you don't want to miss that as well. Oh, I got a lot of good stuff I want to share with you. I'm going to shut up here for a minute. Just going to open it up and on Monday morning here, see if anybody's got anything particular that's
hey, Coach,
nipping at their nose if they want to jump in here. Yeah, Jeff.
Just to let everybody know, we're planning. We already got it planned May 6th, 6:00 in the evening. We're going back to Mike DeWine's neighborhood to the mansion, and we heard. He's there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Sometimes leaves Thursday or Friday, go back to his house. So he is at the mansion. And the neighbors are asking, man, this is the first anybody's come out and done this. I thought people would be out here. So got a lady who's going to recruit the neighbors, and we're going to go back May 6th at 6:00.
May 6th, 6:00. Cool. Now, I wasn't, okay. You know, I'm going to be at the governor's house. I was committed to be at the State House. I had to get at the State House at 11:30, I think it was, whatever that time was. I was committed to be there. I'm for you guys. I'm not against you guys. 6:00, May 6th, the governor's mansion. Cool. Anybody else? Come on in.
Coach.
Yep. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, one of the principles that you're dealing with is the legal side says and knows that silence is consent. So That's what you're trying to overcome because the church is silent. So silence is consent, and mm-hmm. if you don't oppose, then it's deemed to be constitutional or deemed to be righteous if you don't oppose it.
Right. Again, Jack, it's what I kind of opened up with: teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, and the doctrine of men has become non-confrontational. Christianity has become non-confrontational. Christianity has become go along and get along. Christianity has become good citizens. Just be good citizens. Just obey the government. Just be peaceful. That's what Christianity has become. And folks, just get in the book of Acts. Just go back and look at history. Christianity has been confrontational. It hasn't been go along to get along. It's an eternal war. Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I was blown away yesterday by, I know what I'm trying to say. By the song that we played of, help me out. Somebody give me the name of that song.
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Battle Hymn of the Republic. I was blown away to think of the environment in which that song was written. And in that environment in which that song was written, it was apparent that those guys were on a righteous mission. Both sides thought they were on a righteous mission. Both the North and the South. Christian men, folks, come on now. Christian men killing Christian men. Christian men killing Christian men, both thinking they were doing the will of God. Don't miss this. Both thinking they were doing the will of God. Where are Christian men today doing the will of God? Where are they? Is that even something that... is that even discussed in churches, that Christian men need to stand up against these dark, evil forces? What's going on in your church? Let me see who's over. I'm trying to call somebody. Anybody want to jump in here real quick? I got someplace to go. Bear with me. Dale, go ahead. Dale, good to hear you, man.
Amen, brother. We continue to have church. We don't miss church. The police don't even drive by our church, and this goes back to all politics are local. Who is your sheriff? Who you're electing is these parish presidents or county council people? Brother, we are getting nothing. We had 30 people there yesterday outside. But, brother, what about Tony Spell up in Baton Rouge? East Baton Rouge, cited 6 times, arrested, put in jail. Preached the gospel in the jail. I don't know if you heard his testimony. The guard started cussing and swearing, and he told him, every time you cuss, I'm going to quote a scripture. They'd cuss, he'd quote a scripture. They'd cuss, he'd quote a scripture. Eventually, they got silent, and he went to preaching. They released him, put him on house arrest on Saturday, put an ankle bracelet on him. Boom. Where was he? Right in the pulpit on Sunday morning.
There's a video of that, by the way, online of Pastor Tony Spell being put on house arrest in his own house, folks, for preaching the gospel. Now, I know Alan Zeifer is kind of on top of all that, at least following that. And my initial reaction yesterday when I was watching it was, we ought to have 1,000 men down at his house. There ought to be 1,000 men standing with him. And I'm willing to go do that. But I can't organize that from this far away. See,
yeah, we're going
to go. Men of God ought to be running to the aid of Pastor Tony.
We're going to go up there and see him, my wife and I. But, brother, here's a unique thing. This is crazy. In Isaiah, I don't have it off the top of my tongue. The Lord said, he says, and I will give other people's life. Listen to this. He said, I will give other people's lives in exchange for yours. Guess what happened in Baton Rouge yesterday? Police arresting him. Yesterday, there was a shootout and the police was killed. One police officer, one pastor arrested, one police officer killed.
We don't wish that on anybody, do we?
No, we don't, but connect the dots, brother.
Pastor Tony yesterday, they came on Friday, I think it was maybe Saturday, and they put an ankle bracelet on him. House arrest, folks. A pastor opening his church and preaching, they put an ankle bracelet on him and put him on house arrest. And yesterday, Pastor Tony walked across the street to his church and held church with his ankle bracelet on. Now, the beast is upset because of the defiance of godly men against the unrighteous beast. And I'm telling you, it's an unrighteous beast, folks. It's an unrighteous beast. And God bless Pastor Tony for having the cojones to do that. And again, my question becomes, that beast is not going to roll over and take it. What are they going to do next? And we cannot allow him to stand alone. So Dale or Alan, whoever is intimately involved with that, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to take others with me. This is a stand See, this makes people uncomfortable. It's like Myra said yesterday on the show, if you guys didn't listen, is it time for civil disobedience? People don't want to hear that, do they? Said, folks, listen, right now, my opinion, civil disobedience now is godly obedience. It's godly obedience. The government has clearly overstepped their bounds. It's godly obedience. It is not civil disobedience. Don't let them frame your argument. See, as soon as we fall into that market, that argument, and we start calling it civil disobedience, we are putting that mark on ourselves that we are being civilly disobedient. We are not. We are being righteously obedient. The government has made themselves the enemy of the church. Folks, I don't even know how to say it. The government has drawn the sword, Romans 13. They've drawn the sword against the church. Clear, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. They have. So we're forced into position. Are we going to be godly obedient or not? It's not civil disobedience, friends. It is. Was Martin Luther King Jr., was he wrong? Was that civil disobedience? Or was that godly obedience? And again, words matter. We can't let them frame the words. So I want to jump on in here. Anybody else? Somebody else want to? Let me see here. Somebody trying to come in here? 614 area code. Is there somebody missing there? 207 area code. Gary, is that you?
That's Jack.
Jack, okay, yeah, Jack. I'm just saying, I see phones, microphones that are open. That's all I'm looking at. If you want to get in or throw your two cents in, you're welcome to do that. Wes, down at the bottom. Wes, you can come in there.
Yeah, I'm reminded of when you said that the church has no power. The verse that came to mind was, "O ye of little faith."
Mm-hmm. Well, faith, we talked about that, right? Fear and faith cannot abide in the same heart. And part of what we're dealing with, folks, is just a confusion. What is the role of the church in these times in which we live? Well, if we could clearly identify that role, maybe we could become more actively involved. What is the role? Can somebody tell me what should be? What is the role of the church in this time in which we live? What are we supposed to do in this time of the coronavirus? Which that thing's being, I got so much stuff to say. Hey, click on this real quick, Sheldon. Coronavirus truths. I'm not going to make this show about the coronavirus, okay? But I got a link that is unbelievable. Jared, I don't know how to get this on our website because it's not a video. Just scroll down a little bit on this thing, Connor. I'm sorry, Sheldon. And it all goes to truth and lies. It's just the truth. And the lies. This is what they told you. Here is the truth. It's just a truth. So like the second one says, truth. COVID-19 is an actual medical disease that will lead to tragic deaths. They said, that's true. That's true. But here's the lie. We don't know much about the coronavirus. And then it explains what we know about it. They've been lying to us. Like this is some sneaked up disease, and we don't know anything about it, right? Then how about a truth? A lie. COVID-19 is more infectious than the influenza. No, that's a lie, and they tell you why. And then you go on down. Keep on going down there, Sheldon, if you can. Right there, COVID-19. I'm sorry. The fact one, a lie. The fact one doesn't know he or she has COVID-19 makes it more dangerous. They say, if you don't know you have it, it's more dangerous. That's a lie. That's not true. And they explain to you why. The truth, COVID-19 is more dangerous to the elderly and the immunocompromised. That's the truth. And they said, it doesn't really mean anything in and of itself because everything is more dangerous to those unfortunate individuals. The truth. It is now almost impossible for anyone in the general public or general medical community to know the actual numbers of death. That's the truth. Nobody, the numbers have been so messed with, nobody. So this is a really, really valuable thing that we'll link it into the chat here, that you just go down there and just read some of the things that they're telling us. Remember, folks, our battle is against truth. It's against the lies. It's for truth, and it's against lies. Truth, the current policies instituted by our local, state, and national governments are causing greater health problems than the virus ever will. That is truth, and they explain to you why. Truth, the media as a whole has grossly misrepresented this disease. That's true, and they tell you why. So equip yourself on being able to answer some of those things. I don't want to make this whole show be about coronavirus. I got to show you this. I posted this, or if we haven't posted it yet, it will soon be up on our website. Craig, I'm sorry, Sheldon, pull up Sodom. Sodom. There's a video, Sodom. Friends, you got to watch this, and you have got to share this thing. And so again, I think this is on our website. I say that because I send Jared things, and he gets overwhelmed and takes a while to upload them. So I'm not being critical there. But this video, this guy, did you know that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is not really marked? I've never been there. I don't know this. But, it's not like they have a big billboard, Sodom and Gomorrah, 1 mile. The tourists would want to go and see. But Sodom and Gomorrah, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, is still there. And it's under ash. And this video, I hate calling this guy. It just came out April 19th. It's had 178,000 views. He takes you to Sodom. He takes you there, and he walks you through, and he shows. Here's a building. Look, here's a bridge, and here's a roof. It's fascinating as he takes you through it. Yet it's all ash. It's all ash. And then I had this happen. This blew me away. Does anybody know? I'm going to give you a test. Fire and brimstone fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know that, right? The Lord rained down fire. He rained down fire and brimstone. And I'm sitting there watching that video, and I said, Lord, what's brimstone? Is that like shale? Is that great big rocks? What is brimstone, Lord? What is it? You guys know what brimstone was? Does anybody know what brimstone is? Somebody smarter than me? I didn't know. I never thought about it.
Isn't it sulfur?
It is sulfur. Brimstone is sulfur. Now, I asked Sheldon to pull this up to the 7 minute and 30 second mark. This blew me away, man. This whole video is something to watch. Did you guys know that you can go to Sodom and Gomorrah right now and you will be in the midst of ashes and you will find little pieces of sulfur laying around all over Sodom and Gomorrah? And did you know that you can take one of those stones and take a match and light that on fire? Well, let's watch here. 7:30 mark. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Limestone in combination with sulfur at a high temperature leaves this very unique powder laying beneath the surface of the city.
This white snow everywhere, everywhere in the whole area. It's called calcium sulfate. It's created when heat goes over 250 degrees Celsius, and it just leaves this ash. That is calcium sulfate all over the place.
Folks, I don't want you to miss this, okay? So the guy makes this video. He is standing in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it is ash. That's all it is, powdery ash. And as he's standing and walking through Sodom and Gomorrah, he continually bends over and digs up rocks, brimstone. Evidence of what the Bible said happened, still there. Okay, keep going, because I want you to watch what he does with one of these brimstones. Go ahead there, Sheldon.
So as you see here, we just found some sulfur. You can recognize it because it's this powder, yellow powder. There's some more here. Look at this one, guys.
So this is a part of sulfur. Just take it off. You can see the yellow part. It smells. Look at that.
Yep.
No, it's okay, Sheldon.
It's everywhere. Because the Bible said it.
It rained down brimstone. From the sky, it rained brimstone. And it turned Sodom and Gomorrah into ash. And it's still ash today, but in the midst of the ash is brimstone. Keep going, Sheldon. He's going to light one of these on fire. It's amazing.
It rained sulfur. You can still come here to the present day Gomorrah. You will still find this kind of sulfur. It's everywhere in the region. Because the Bible said, rain, sulfur, brimstone, fire upon the whole land.
Unbelievable. Now look at this. Look, folks, watch this segment here, because here's what he's going to show you. What you see on the screen right now is sulfur from a volcano and sulfur from Sodom. Look at this. They are not the same. A specific sulfur fell on Sodom. Go ahead and let's continue a little bit there.
To regular sulfur, this pale white form of sulfur can only be found in the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. It cannot be found in any volcanic area or any mineral museum. Supporting the Genesis account, geothermal activity has never been recorded in the region, so these brimstones could not have come from a volcanic eruption.
Never any record ever of any volcano in this area. Ever, ever, ever. And yet this brimstone. Man, some scientist out there, you know they've never excavated it. There's been no excavation done of Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you believe that? So we've posted this on our website, this video on Sodom and Gomorrah. It's about 25 minutes long. It is unbelievable. What do you think about it? Somebody come on in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
What that shows is, again, science is proving the existence of God, you know?
It is, man. Hey, Paul, why don't they want to excavate it, I wonder? Why is did it ever enter your mind that Sodom and Gomorrah is still there and it's never been excavated? And as you watch this video, he takes you around, he shows you the structures. He says, here it is and here it is. It's all there. So this is evidence, again, of the truth of the scriptures. Somebody else.
Yeah, if you look up Ron White, he discovered that area back in the 80s, I believe. And he's dead now, but... I guess he discovered where he thinks Noah's Ark is left and everything. You know, he found a lot of artifacts, but I saw him doing that a few years ago.
Did you ever see sulfur burn like that? Did anybody out there that you like sulfur? I had no idea. Myra, come on in.
Yes. First of all, thank you so much for correcting me yesterday. It's definitely godly disobedience, and I just praise the Lord Jesus that you were there to point me in the right direction. And I just continue to thank you for all you do. What I'm trying to do personally, I'm pretty much working 6 to 7 days a week. But whatever money I have, I'll try to send. So if I cannot be there with you, I can at least make donations to back you up.
Thank you, Myra. And I didn't mean to correct you yesterday.
No, you're right.
Right? Language matters. Language matters, right? It does matter. And folks, listen, thanks for saying that, Myra. Hey, folks, if you can send $10 or $20, it's been one of the slowest months ever in the history of our ministry. I'm you can figure out why, right? With all the nobody having jobs, you can understand. So just I'll put it out there just so that you know that we're dealing with those issues as well. I want to show you, because we spoke yesterday about cowardice. We're all cowards, aren't we? We're so cowardly. I'm such a coward. You do know this, don't you? The only reason abortion continues in America is because of cowardly Christians. You do know that. I put a meme on Facebook yesterday. Michelle gave it to me. My wife gave it to me. Michelle said, if they'd closed down the abortion clinics, and my wife said this, we're driving down the road. And she says, honey, if the government had closed down the abortion clinics for the coronavirus, everything would already be open. And I thought, man, are you kidding me? If the government had closed down Planned Parenthood, the left would be leading the charge to open up our businesses again. That's true. You know that to be true, don't you? That's the truth. And here we are, the church. We won't demand even that the abortion stop. The church won't even demand it. And so while we're worrying about the death of older people, and I'm one of the older people, we're worrying about the death of older people, we turn a blind eye again to young people. How can you say that you care about people living and dying when we're seeing thousands of them being murdered a day? Why is the church not doing anything about it? Apathy? But I don't think it's apathy. I think it's a lack of courage. I think it's one more thing. I think it's shame. I think it's shame. I think so many men and women have engaged, think about 60 million. Think how many Christians have engaged in abortion. And I think it's shame. What I think. And people don't want to speak up about it because they're ashamed. They're ashamed. Shameful. There is now, folks, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The fact that you had an abortion is your testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their own lives, even to the point of death. But we love ourselves so much that women and men who went through abortions will not use that as a testimony to end it. Women who've had abortions know abortion is not harmless. They know it. Men who've had abortions know that abortion is not harmless. They know it. Yet they say nothing about it. Why? Shame? Cowardice? I don't know what it is. It's cowardly. And I can't, if we remember Revelation 21:8, can you pull that up there real quick for me, Sheldon? Revelation 21:8. Because I don't have this whole thing all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. But I can read. And I can think. And don't go to the New Standard. Go to the King James if you can, Connor. Or Sheldon. I don't know. I got Connor in my head today. King James. Right there. Go right there. Look at this, folks. But the fearful and the unbelieving. I'm pausing for effect. The fearful and the unbelieving. Follow down here. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Wow, we just saw that, didn't it? But the fearful and the unbelieving. And then he throws in the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. But who's first? The fearful and the unbelieving. And we discussed the other day on the show the whole idea of fear. Abortion continues in America out of fear. And in fact, we love ourselves too much. So I want to play a video real quick here. Which one is it? Lady on the flight. Lady okay. on. Yes.
Real quick. Abortions before they were legal. All right. So America would be, you know, just shocked by the idea of killing babies, right? Years and years ago. Maybe there was cults doing it in the underground or whatever. But then it started. So that's where we are now with some future things too. But let's look at abortion. Without us and the church raising up, this is where what we are. And look what a foothold it has and how hard it is to get rid of. So take a look at transhumanism and the other things we talk about. It's not full force, but abortion wasn't either. Now, if all these other devices of Satan move forward that we don't want to talk about, we'd rather just read verses out of the Bible and not understand Satan, they're going to progress, and they're going to be even harder to root out. So as we look at abortion and go back and fix what we didn't do, let's also stay very mindful of the rest of Satan's full, you know, the truth is marching on, but so is Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have to be just as vocal about the things that are going to kill our children that aren't abortion. Just to note.
So Mark, let's think about this a second. This came to me as you were speaking there. I know what stops Christians. I know one of the greatest things that stops Christians is fear. I know it is. We all know that. We all know that.
Amen. Peer right? pressure. Yeah.
Right. What stops Satan? What stops Satan?
Coach, yeah, I don't know. Well, you said earlier, you said we love ourselves too much. Coach, I believe more than fear, I believe it's idolatry. I believe that's the oldest religion in the Bible is idolatry. I mean, by God, you see what's going on there in Baton Rouge. Dale, how many churches are in the Baton Rouge area, man? You know, Dale?
A bunch. You can Google it.
I mean, how in the world is it? What's it going to take? I mean, Coach, I'm right there with you on everything you do, and I'll try to do. You know, we're not working now, so my money's really limited now. And I tell you what, I want to go to Baton Rouge. I don't know when the best time to go. Is it going to be when his trial starts? You know, what's going to be the best time to go there? But you said 1,000, man. We should have 10,000. I'd love to have 10,000.
Hey, Alan, I don't know if you can see my phone. I just Googled churches in Baton Rouge. All you got to do is just swipe. Look at that.
And isn't it amazing that you're going to have to come from Ohio? A bunch of us are going to come from Florida. I'm amazed, Coach, at the amount of Christians that would be call themselves Christians in that area that's not standing up with this preacher. It ain't got nothing to do with fear, Coach. They just don't give a rip. They're like Chad would say, their mailbox hadn't got hit. They don't care. As long as they don't have to go to jail, they could give a rip less.
Well, listen, Coach, I do plan on meeting up with Tony. I know I'll get in contact with him. And personally, believing I'll meet with him. When I do, I'll come back and give you the logistics. What can we do? Because that's the thing. You don't just want to show up. It's a lot of expenses. But what is it that we can do when we do show up?
Amen. Well, Dale, I'd love to have him on. If he'd want to come on here, I'd love to have him on. Tell his story, and I don't know if you can arrange that or not.
I will make the effort.
He's probably pretty busy now. Everybody wants to interview him, right? And again, see, we got churches calling him. Folks, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, wait. Sheldon, you can pull that way.
Hey, Coach.
They've pulled it down already. Yeah, Paul.
You know, look at the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. That's what's happened here, basically. We've allowed the world to shame. We've allowed the world to dictate what the church should response should be because
that's right.
Saul Alinsky's rule for radicals. That's right. Exactly what they do.
Yep.
Isolate. You don't want
the principle.
Oh, you don't want to protect people? It matters so much to you to have your church that you want to put people at risk. You want to see people die. That's what they've done to us, right? And they shame us. It's not even truth. They shame us with things that aren't even true, folks.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just a little update on what's going on. We're shaking in here in Knox County. We got some things going. The church has been open 4 Sundays in a row. A lot of there's new people coming every Sunday. New faces are popping in here because other churches aren't open. Our Tuesday night in the garage was just every other Tuesday people show up because that's when Pastor Bill shows up. Now our off Tuesday last week, 12 people showed up and he wasn't even there. Now it's growing. We're going to probably have 20, 22 people this Tuesday. We're doing a little thing down in the Apple Valley house where Pastor Tim has a house of 14 bedrooms. 2 Sundays now we've done it there. 16 people last week, 22 people last night. And we're bringing on about 3 or 4 pastors that are actually coming around. And we're letting them know what's happening, what the people want. And we're starting a little small explosion here. So it's taking off.
Praise the Lord. Right. Good. Let's make it a big explosion. So again, hey, Coach,
I got a question here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so going back to the cowardly and the unbelieving, so how can one determine, if you're, even if you're doing something, if you really are doing what the Lord's wanting you to do, or if you're still being a bit cowardly or unbelieving, how do you really determine whether you're, falling into that pit or not?
I go by this in my own life. I'm going to go. The Lord can close a door as easy as he can open one. And I don't know whether the door is open or whether the door is closed till I try to go through the door. That's the way I live it. I'm going to tell you this. Whenever a decision comes that you have to make, whether you're going to go, you're going to do whatever, I'm going to tell you something. The first thing that will always come to your head is, what's going to happen to me if I do? Always. Always. It's always about, and that is, as Alan said, that is the ultimate idolatry. I thought you were crucified with Christ. I thought, nevertheless, you don't live anymore. I thought the life that you now live, you live by the grace of the Son of God. That's what I thought. I thought you presented your body a living sacrifice. So therefore, when a thought comes to you, your first thought shouldn't be what's going to happen to me, but it should be what does the Lord want me to do? That should be the first thought that comes to it. And it isn't. It isn't. Go ahead, Mark.
I totally agree. The flesh is the fear. You're fearful of the flesh, but like you said, it died on the cross, so we're spirit beings. If they put your flesh in jail, where's your spirit?
In jail.
Where was Paul's spirit? Wasn't it going into all the cities with his letters, still spreading the word? I mean, that's our job, is our spirit has to work, not our flesh, our spirit. Our spirit is what tells our flesh not to do the worldly things.
That's right.
Our flesh is a tool that'll get thrown in jail. Are you worried about your spirit if your flesh gets thrown in jail, guys? Your spirit's safe. Your spirit's with God.
That's right. You just...
I put on Facebook, I says, how many of Jesus' disciples had a criminal record? And Coach, there was people that didn't even know what I was even talking about when I put that out. And I'm like, these people really are stupid.
Right. Well, they're not stupid. They're miseducated. We've been miseducated, right? That's the way I see it. So I want to throw this up here because this is I'm looking at, I want to make sure, several things I want to make sure I get to you today before. Lord, sometimes I feel like I'm afraid to go up and face my wife. Not really. Because I know what she's going to say. She's going to say, don't say it, honey. Seems like you talk about the same thing every day. She's right. I for the life of me, friends, for the life of me, when I get up in the morning, I am totally consumed on the fact I see a mess that shouldn't be there. I see an injustice that should not be going on. I see the answer to that problem. And my frustration level is so high because if I could just get this group to work together with this group, we will end that. So in an essence, it is the same thing every day because the enemy is constantly at work and we are constantly asleep. And if you think the devil has a day off scheduled tomorrow, you're a fool. So for those of you who think
you got to keep doing it louder and louder and louder. It's the Overton window. They use it against us. We have to learn to do this. You're doing exactly the right thing. You keep saying the same, more extreme. Go for it. Go for it. Get it back to where it's supposed to be.
Thanks, Jack. I'm going to. I just had to get that off my chest. Hey, Sheldon, bring up Ben Nunn religion. Folks, this is like, you know, sometimes when I'm putting these things, I come across these things, I put these things together, I think, how am I going to explain this one? How am I going to explain it? So sometimes I just figured out I ain't even going to try to explain it. I'm not. I'm just going to put it out there, and I want you to listen for yourself. So I'd seen this. I don't know a whole lot about this guy, Ben Nunn. I don't know a whole lot about it. I watch his good stuff. Good stuff. He's got 86,830 views on this one video since yesterday. So he's obviously having an impact, okay? But I saw this video. I tried. He's going to show a video. And I saw this video 2 days ago, and then I couldn't find it today. So I just have to show his copy of this video, okay? But I was thinking of Mark Trump's I think how Mark Trump's mind thinks. And so I'm thinking, boy, I got to get this to Trump to see this. So start this at 4:30, Mark. And I think, Connor, you can play it at 1.25. Folks, listen. They are looking. This blew me away. Now, your pastor ain't going to like it. He's going to tell you to quit watching Coach. He doesn't even get on the internet. He doesn't even have email. He don't have any idea what's going on. He is so righteous and holy that he gets everything he knows out of the Bible. You know what I'm talking about, right? So this guy pulls a video from 4:13:05 where they talk about, are you ready for this? In our brains, we Christians, they call it, what do they call it here, Coach? I'm not making this up.
It's the religious gene.
Fund vax. Fund vax. And what is the fund vax against? Those who have brain damage and are fundamentalist believers. Fundamentalist religious believers. And this is a meeting in the Pentagon where the Department of Defense is talking about fundamental religion. Now, they're going to tell us it's Muslims. That's what they want us to tell, right? And how they have developed a vaccine to eliminate that part of your brain. You think I'm crazy? Go ahead, Mark. 4:30. Sorry, yeah, go ahead. Start it right there.
Police here. Listen into this Pentagon briefing.
Individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR, expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. Let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalists, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2.
They're showing pictures of brain scans, okay? Now, here in a minute, the picture is going to get more clear. So he's showing to these people in his Pentagon briefing brain scans they've done on ultra-religious people. He's showing them, okay? In a minute, we're going to be able to see it. And he's saying, look, you can see right here they have a brain defect, and they're going to take care of it through vaccination. Go ahead. Keep going.
Gene, another evidence that supports our hypothesis.
I know you don't get to see this very well on your end there, but he's showing you a chart of what their vaccine will do with people with religious minds.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, will eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide.
And they're showing, I realize you guys don't see this very well because of the way the graphics are, but in the far side of the screen over here, they're showing the human brain and using this BMAT2 they're able to remove the part of the religious thinking from the brain. Now, they're, of course, dealing with people in the Middle East, Iraqis, but still, nonetheless, they consider evangelicals, or Christians, I should say, as fanatics as well. And this is something that is no doubt going to be introduced in this mandatory vaccine that has DARPA technology, nanotechnology, etc.
Brain scans, these are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top,
there you go. You can see it now.
A religious fanatic and individual, and we've repeated this numerous times, that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene. This individual.
Look, folks, over here on the right. Notes, do you see one? The A picture is a religious brain. Do you see that? A religious brain. And at the bottom, B, they have a non-religious brain. So this is directed right at fundamentalist believers, folks. And they're telling us, we don't want to believe this is going on, right? They're going to vaccinate that religious brain right out of you. Keep going.
Would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual lit up the right middle frontal gyrus shown here, and that's a part of the brain that's associated with theory of mind.
It's the religious part of the brain
that has to do with intents and beliefs and desires. In marked contrast, here's an individual who would not particularly self-describe as religious. And when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or displeasure on hearing something.
So you're suggesting I take a CT scan with me when I'm evaluating people to determine whether there's a bullet in their head?
So, the data that I'm presenting here supports the concept that we're proposing, and I think that we would not propose to do CT scans or fMRIs on individuals out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan. The virus would immunize against this VMAT2 gene.
Mentioning a virus.
That would have the effect that you see here, which is essentially to turn a fanatic into a normal person. And we think that will have major effects in the Middle East.
How would you suggest that this is
going to
be?
Oh, yeah. I was asking how they're going to disperse it.
So the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses. Such as flu.
What? Using a respiratory virus or the flu.
We believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. Most of us, of course, have been exposed to both of those viruses. And okay, we're quite confident that this will be a very successful approach.
Good stuff. Now, I see this a couple different ways. Number one, I see evidence of the mind of Christ. Anybody see that? Actual proof of the mind of Christ. Now listen, they're saying they're going to do this for those fundamentalist Muslims, right? Yeah, we'll go get those Muslims. Really? You don't think they'd like to get a shot at Dale Sosha's brain or Alan Zeifer's brain or my brain? Tell me I need to get a flu vaccine and then put inside that some type of chemical or whatever it would be that blocks my ability. Oh my Lord. Mark Trump, help us out. Is this going on, Mark? Somebody help us out.
Well, I did a brief overview of this some time ago, and I actually showed those pictures of the brain with the four brain waves and the differences in prayer and meditation. You guys remember that?
Yep.
And the real key to this is when you pray, you believe that you're talking to someone. That's the core of it. When you meditate, you are doing it yourself. You're taught to control your own energy, little g God stuff. So this study was on the difference in prayer
when you were relying on a sovereign God to help you solve your problem. Now, chemically in your brain, whenever you turn that prayer over and you say, give it to God, you know how we say, oh, you got to give that to God. Oh, you got to let God handle that. When you let go of it, the stress causes your brain waves to reset and your frontal lobe reengages, which connects your left and right sides of your brain, and you can do decision making again. The people who are meditating still have the problem. They've not given the problem away. The core of it is they've identified which brain waves return to make decision making. Coach, everything that we're talking about is about the frontal lobe. All of the chemicals, all of the medicines, it's about feminization, it's about causing poor decision making in youth, it's about controlling brain waves, and they can already do it with radiation, but it's extremely expensive and difficult right now. So it's targeted people who do that. Don't be fearful that we're all being changed, we're all being forced weak, but only few people are targeted with this technology. What they're doing here is eliminating the possibility of us to reengage our frontal lobes. Okay? It's extremely dangerous. This is the same thing that fluoride does with your pineal gland. It's the same thing that radiation does. It stunts our decision-making. It's inhibiting the Holy Spirit from giving the Word of God that connection in us. Okay?
Hey, Mark.
And Mark, yep.
Hey, Mark.
Even more through a vaccination, right?
Coach, ask Mark. Yes. Mark, how about the autism deal? I've heard that autism is what these people can, they're saying they can't accept Christ if they have autism. I don't know. I've heard that.
That's part of an autism disorder, is your frontal lobe isn't connecting your decision making. So you lose ability for reasonable decisions. And I've talked to people that come out of Occupy, they just sat and told me, you know, my children were fine. Went through a divorce. The husband accused me of not vaccinating because we both didn't want our children to be poisoned. The husband forced her to vaccinate them after the separation, and they both developed autism, the children. And there's nothing she can do because it was a vaccination prescribed by the government. Who do you sue? So it's a huge beast. Vaccination is another huge little B beast. There's a lot of them, right, Coach?
Hey, Mark.
Yes, go ahead.
Mark.
Go ahead, Paul.
That part of the brain that you talk about, that doesn't develop till you're like 25 years old or something like that? Isn't that right?
Well, your pineal gland, which I believe is part of your spiritual development, stops at puberty, usually when you first start rebellion. The rest of your brain continues to develop, of course, and that's based on your learning. Mm. So it's what you feed it and how you teach it to process. This is called parenting. Hmm. Something that I didn't do very well, guys.
Well, by the way,
my children and children's children are suffering from the curse of my sin of not training them properly. You see what I feel? Y'all feeling it?
Yep. Yeah, I'm feeling it, man. And so what they want to try to do, folks, come on now. Come on. I'm sorry that your pastor doesn't get this and your pastor doesn't want to go there. Or as somebody said that to me the other day, I don't even want to know about it. I don't even want to know about it. I'm sorry your pastor doesn't want to know about it, but you are operating with very limited information, my friends, very, very limited information. And there is a devil, and there is an enemy that hates God and hates your soul. And it's been a battle from the seed of the serpent to the seed of the woman. And knowledge is increasing and science is increasing. And now they want to tell you that you have a coronavirus and give you a vaccination that's going to numb your brain to the knowledge of God. That's what's going on, friends. That's where we are.
Amen. Amen. And 20 other ways you can't even think of, they're trying to prevent your ability to reach God. You just got to be wary. And then the pastors need to teach against this. They need to teach people how to use their frontal lobe.
Yeah, they don't even know.
They need to be technical. They need to dig into this stuff so they can defeat it.
The internet's of the devil. They don't even want to know. And as a result, The people are sitting in the pew. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't even, they have no concept that any of this is going on. No concept. They're so heavenly conscious, they're no earthly good. They just can't wait to get raptured into heaven. And meanwhile, their children and their grandchildren and the culture and the society, everything around us is being destroyed, and they don't care.
It's all the market. It's all the vaccine. The forced vaccine is going to be the ultimate deal. It's going to have means by which you cannot buy or sell. You cannot work. Besides reprogramming your brain, and now they say you need the vaccine so you can be healed, won't contaminate people. That's going to be ultimately the thing. If we don't fight the vaccine enforcement, we'll lose.
And they scared us right out of our churches.
Hey, Coach, read Ezekiel chapter 9, Coach, verse 4. I'll put it in the chat. Read that real fast. That's God.
You read it.
All right. It's right there in the chat. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So God was commanding an angel to go and mark guys like Coach, like Dale, like all us in this queue, and mark them because we're doing the right thing, Coach. We're crying and sighing because we see the abominations, and Satan's trying to take that from mankind. But God's got a plan, Coach.
The mark of Ezekiel. The mark of Ezekiel. Folks, we are at war. We just won't admit it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.